and then mention the name, the full name of the member that you are to nominate, and the member. And then we'll mention the full name of the member he or she is nominating. And then from there, I will proceed to call for further nominations. Therefore, if there are any more nominations, then we'll go into a vote, which will be done by the show of hands. However, if there are no further nominations, then the member that was nominated will then come forward to take the chair. I will therefore, honorable members, call for nominations. I recognize Honorable Teddy.
Thank you very much, Secretary. I nominate Honorable Teddy to be the exclusive person for the day.
Honorable Teddy has nominated Honorable Teddy to be the acting chairperson. Any seconder? I recognize Honorable Kitana.
Thank you, Secretary. I do second the nomination of Comrade Zodis.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Honorable Teddy has nominated Honorable Tsotesi and was seconded by Honorable Kekana. Are there any further nominations? Seemingly that there are no further nominations, I will therefore call Honorable Tsotesi to come forward and take the chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Members.
Members, our colleagues and guests, you all welcome to the meeting. We are at the time of the year whereby we do assessments for the department, entities through the department, as to how they've been performing. And before we start, we have to put the format on record, the apologies that we have. That the chairperson went to the meeting, Commissioner Smolle Moropa, and Ms. Lynn van der Merwe from IFP, and the minister as well, Mr. Vic Mutambi. We also have an apology from Honorable Ndlozi from EFF, and also from Honorable Gadimeng from ANC. Those are the apologies we have. And we'll continue with our presentations. And I think all of us were on research, but for members, we cannot really say we were on research. We've been working throughout and also engaging with the other entities. So out of that hard work, I think we're going to use the appropriate results. We'll start our presentation with the AG, Ms. Alice Muller. Then GCIS, after them ICASA, then MDDA. And of course we did it. We will have all the presentations, and at the end of the presentation, we'll now engage members to be taking notes. We'll have questions, comments, and whatever it is for us to make sure that we have credible information from yourself. And we are requesting that for us to have an easy, you know, job for the day, we just make honest presentations where we think we didn't do well. We're all in this business, but if you have some big agendas, it will be very difficult for us moving forward. With those few words, I will hand over to the Auditor General to present to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
No problem, ma'am. Sorry, even before you start, this is my new member, Fandana. You're welcome. This is the first meeting. Yes, so welcome to the meeting, to the committee, actually. Yes.
Before we start, I do have a question, Dennis. I'm a new member of the committee, so I'm just trying to understand. I've seen the agenda, and we set aside 9:30 today to deal with the presentations, and there's also 9:30 tomorrow. Now, tomorrow is the budget speech at 2:00, and I understand this process as being part of us preparing a report, a BRRR report, to then present to the Minister of Finance to consider for the budget. But because we are doing this after the budget's taking place, I'm just trying to understand how this is going to work.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ndami, for bringing that up. Let's try to maybe focus on this one, then we'll come back to that one as a committee. When others have presented, we understand your concern, but we'll come back to that because we don't take more time trying to engage on that one, but we will really attend to it.
Sorry, Chair, I do think we need to resolve this because we've set aside presentations for tomorrow too, so at what point will we compile the BRRR report? And when will it be sent to the Finance Minister if we're working until 6 tomorrow when the budget speeches are 2? I'm just trying to understand. I think we need to resolve this before we move forward.
What usually happens is that we proceed with the presentations, and by the time we go to the House, I think we should have done a lot of work. But usually when we have outstanding issues, sometimes that meant for the committee to resolve on that one in the absence of our guest here. And that one also will be discussed after the presentations as a committee. And I'm appealing to you that you'll try to save time, but we'll come back to that. And you usually have some mishaps like that one, but you always have a way of anybody maybe trying to, play with time to make sure that they were not missing out anything. So on that one, let's proceed.
Sorry, Chair. No, I'm sorry.
Sorry. We have people who came here maybe last night, and they're here to present as they've been requested. But what I'm saying is that we are not dismissing what you are saying. What I'm saying is that it's not the first time that we have such a challenge, but we really work on time and see at the committee how do we manage time, reconstruct our time, and we plan to meet after this presentation and see how we move forward.
We'll meet after the presentation.
Yes,
as
a committee.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Auditor General, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity to present. Just by way of introduction, I'm Alice Miller, Corporate Executive in the Auditor General. I'm accompanied by my two colleagues, Promise Buthelezi, which is the Acting Senior Manager for the portfolio, and Kulani Zigwele, which is the Audit Manager. Chairperson, in the presentation today, we're starting off with our reputation promise, which is to enable oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector. And we do trust that today's presentation is going to assist this committee in this, in the endeavor to do the BRRR process. The content of the presentation today is going to focus on the purpose of the presentation, the scope of our audits, what we will cover and what we didn't cover during the year, the composition of this portfolio and the audits that it will cover. Our audit outcomes, we've got a specific slide on unauthorized irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We will then talk about the root causes and the recommendation, as well as the minister's commitment to address some of these root causes in the portfolio. So the purpose of the presentation is to assist this committee with their BRRR report. Our role is to reflect on the audit work that was performed by the office during this year, and taking into account your responsibility. So we're going to focus on what did we do and what will we not cover today. So what we will do is to provide assurance on the free, that the financial statements are free from a statement. No. And the, but what we won't do is do not provide assurance on the appropriateness of the budget of the department. We report on the usefulness and reliability of the predetermined objectives, the reporting against it, but we do not provide commentary on service delivery. That is in the financial statements. What we do is we give you assurance whether the indicators are useful and whether the information that are contained in the annual reports are reliable or not. We report on material non-compliance. Obviously, we don't report on all non-compliance. There's a lot of legislation in the country. So there's key pre-selected legislation that we test against, and we're going to report on that. We then report on the key control status of the department and the entities in the portfolio. We assess the risk of fraud, but we are not responsible for fraud identification or fraud prevention. And this is an important concept when we get to the irregular expenditure to understand that there might be fraud indicators that we pick up during the audit, but we don't necessarily do the follow-up to identify whether fraud occurred or not. That's the responsibility of management. This portfolio on which we're going to give the outcomes today is the GCIS department, the SADC, ICASA, the NDDA, the Firm and Publication Board, as well as Grand SA. These are the six entities that contained in this presentation today. Chairperson, on the overall audit outcomes for this portfolio, I just want to indicate that there's a change in this slide. I've taken out the assessment, the combined assurance assessment, and we found that it distracts from the outcomes, and we want to focus primarily on what's the outcomes for this portfolio. Generally, in my view, I don't believe the portfolio is doing badly. If you look at the outcomes per se, GCIS has moved from an unqualified audit opinion to with findings to unqualified with no findings. So for this year, they are clean. Last year, they had material adjustments on their financial statements, which they managed to resolve this year. For ICASA, MDDA, Firm and Publication, and Grand SA, all of them have some other matters. Why I'm saying the portfolio is not doing badly is that there's one or two areas that they need to attend to. But one of those areas is supply chain management, which is a serious matter, and we need to attend to that. And that's why in today's presentation, I'm bringing to your attention some of those irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure that needs to be dealt with. SABC, still qualified. They were disclaimed 3 years ago. They moved to a qualification last year. They're still in the qualification space. But I would like to mention that when we disclaimed them in 2012-13, they had 9 qualification areas. Last year they had 8. They dealt with the asset issue last year, and it was say, or a portion of the assets, which made them move out of the disclaimer space. And this year they only have 3 qualifications. Now I say only 3 in the context of the progress that has been made. Those 3 are still the license fees, the completeness of license fees, the fact that they still account for license fees on the cash basis of accounting in the state of the accrual basis of accounting. There's a qualification on the taxation and the way they calculate the taxation. And then for SABC, they are qualified on both the irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and unrightful expenditure, which means that the amounts that are disclosed in their financial statements might be materially misstated. And that's the reason why they still qualify on the irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and unrightful expenditure. If maybe it will be wise to also add that a lot of intervention is happening at the SABC to deal with these qualification areas. The matter we have raised with the leadership of the SABC is that they need to tighten the internal control environment. Unless they make sure that those practices are entrenched in the SABC, they might find themselves in a position where they regress in outcomes once those consultants are not there anymore. On the key controls, I'm going to focus on the regressions primarily. Under leadership, the MDDA, we've noted the regression to concerning, especially because of the leadership vacancies that were prevalent during the course of the year. The firm and publication board also regressed in terms of their financial performance measure, mainly as a result of the irregular expenditure that they occurred in, that they incurred this year. Under governance, also under MDDA, is the fact that the audit committee were not able to assist MDDA when they regressed from a clean audit last year to unqualified with other matters. The other matters for MDDA this year is related to material adjustments that they had to make on their financial statements. So they lost their clean audit this year because of that. And the audit committee had a role to play there. That's why that regression in internal controls. When you look at the bottom left-hand slide, it's the risk areas that we assess during our audit. And we do believe that if these six risk areas are attended to, the auditee will be in a good position to have a clean audit outcome. The first one is the quality of financial statements. You will note three auditees that had material adjustments to their financial statements, being the SABC, MDDA, and the Firm and Publication Board. And I will talk to more about that in the next slide, and you'll see the impact. The quality of the financials, of the performance information, only two entities, the ICASA and SABC, that still battle with how they report in their annual report. And I will also give more information on that. Compliance matters, it's only the GCIS that managed to walk out of this audit with no compliance findings. All the others had compliance findings. Financial health is an area that we also assess. We've assessed the SABC as concerning primarily because of the license fees which they don't recover. They will be in a much more healthy position if they recover all their license fees that are due to them, as well as the losses that were made last year. The Brand SA is currently in a net liability position because of the historic losses that were made by Brand SA. Human resource management, I've mentioned the vacancies at MDDA. The others also had findings, basically delays in appointment processes, vacancies in the supply chain unit, especially for ICASA, that contributed to human resource findings. It's important to note that human resource is mostly the reason and the root cause for any finding. It's either because there was no consequent management, the position was vacant, or the person has not performed in that position. Under information technology, all the auditees still have findings. The findings there is basically related to IT governance, security management, IT continuity services and user access management. And these areas need attention to make sure that there's no unintended access to government data that should be prevented. When we look at the root causes, we've identified slow response by management, specifically for the Film and Publication Board and NGDA, especially for NGDA in filling those critical positions. Instability of vacancies at Brand SA, NDDA, ICASA and the SABC. And we're well aware of those, the extent of those vacancies in those portfolios. And then the lack of consequence management, especially at SABC as well as ICASA. We're raising these two because they've got the highest irregular expenditure in this portfolio. And I will later touch on it, but the Minister has now made a commitment to monitor the implementation of consequence management at these two entities. When you then look at the quality of financial statements, I said earlier, SABC, NDDA and Firm and Publication Board submitted financial statements that needed correction. It's only the SABC where they could not fix everything. And the qualifications that then remained resulted in the qualification, in the qualification. So the areas that remained resulted in the qualification. If we then look at the performance information, SABC and ICASA had matters on usefulness, and then the SABC also has matters on reliability. For the ICASA, in the ICASA annual report, you will note that a lot of reasons for variations was noted. What we found in getting our audit is that we could not get adequate supporting information to support those variations. I said that except for GCIS, all the entities in the portfolio had findings on legislation, non-compliance with legislation. We've discussed the financial statements, the prevention of unauthorized, irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, still in a matter of concern. Procurement contracts generally in the portfolio need some attention. Under management of strategic planning and performance, we've noted the SABC, because they had findings under the usefulness and reliability of the targets in the annual report, but we've also included NDDA because they submitted their quarterly reports late to the department consistently during the year. So there was an issue around how do they manage the strategic planning and performance during the year. Human resource and consequence management, again, what we found under human resource, SABC had significant vacancies as well as NDDA. Internal audit and audit committee are generally doing well. There was not necessarily findings in the audit report on this matter, which is giving assurance on the second level of assurance, which is great. If we then look at the irregular expenditure and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, let me first talk through the definitions. Unauthorized expenditure is expenditure not in accordance with the budget vote, or over-expenditure of a budget or a program. In this case, it's only GCIS that has 710,000 rand of unauthorized expenditure, and it was basically related to the subsistence and travel for the minister, which was in, which was not budgeted for when she was moved to this department. Irregular expenditure is expenditure incurred in contravention of key legislation or prescribed processes were not followed. Again, we need to reiterate to say, we don't say this money is lost. We don't say that goods and services were not provided for this amount. What we are saying is that we cannot determine whether a fair, transparent and equitable process was followed, whether government has paid a fair price for what they received. You will note ICASA has increased to 30 million this year. If they receive 413 million, it's less than last year, but I would like to draw your attention to the fact that that amount is qualified. We don't know whether all the irregular expenditure has been identified. What we do during our audit process, we draw a sample, we then allow management to go back and assess whether there's more irregular. What we then did
We drew another sample and we found more irregular signatures, so we qualified the amount. GCIS had an amount of 506,000. Brand ESA had a 79,000 irregular expenditure, which is also less than last year, but they still incurred irregular expenditure. And the Firm and Publication Board had an irregular expenditure of 6.4 million. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure is also incurred in the portfolio. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure is expenditure incurred in vain and could have been avoided if reasonable steps were taken. So what we say is there was no value for money for these amounts that were spent. It cost us 2.3 million, SABC 18.8 million. Again, I want to draw your attention that this amount is qualified. Can be much more than the 18 million. And the rest of the amounts are displayed. 11 million for GCIS, Brand SA 168, 11,000, my apologies. Brand SA 168,000. And NDDA 18,000. What is, to come back to the root causes, we said that the lack of consequences for poor performance and transgressions is one of the root causes in this portfolio, and we recommend that consequence management needs to be linked to the performance management and action needs to be taken. Our Auditor General has recently issued an article, a column, and in which he explains very pertinently, and he requests leadership to investigate these irregular expenditure. It's only when you investigate it that you will know what's the reason why it happened. Is it an intentional transgression? Is it vacancies that contribute to it? Is it a lack of training and knowledge? We don't know what's the reason for it, and it needs to be investigated to determine exactly what's the root cause, so that the leadership can then deal with the root cause for those transgressions. Instability of vacancies in key positions, we would like to recommend that the key vacancies are filled, matter of urgency in this portfolio. And then also the slow response. Where there's a slow response, we would like management to compile an action plan. And flowing from the recommendations we've made to management and the leadership of the portfolio, we would also like to recommend to this portfolio committee to monitor the action plan. And we would prefer if those action plans can include detail around the filling of vacancies as well as monitoring the consequence management and the implementation of consequence management in this portfolio. We would also like to recommend to the committee that they make use of the audit committee chairperson to provide assurance to the committee. They are in a good space to assist the committee in your oversight function. Lastly, on the minister commitment, the minister has appointed the CEO and CFO for the SABC during the year. The two that are still in progress is the management agreement to ensure that clearly defined roles and responsibilities exist across the portfolio, that the key vacancies are full. For NDDA, she made a commitment for the third quarter of 1560 to fill those positions at NDDA. The one commitment that has not been implemented as yet is to request the entities to compile monthly financial statements. We know that Treasury require quarterly financial statements, but what we said is let's enhance the monthly financial reporting and make sure that the entities also report on their disclosure notes right through the year, through a proper set of financial statements monthly, so that we can move away from these material adjustments that happen at year end, which is one of the obstacles that will prevent them from achieving a clean audit. And then the Minister, as I mentioned earlier, made a new commitment to monitor the implementation of consequence management in the portfolio. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julia. I think Linda's taking notes. We'll come to the second presentation, GCIS. I believe we're ready. Okay. Mm-hmm. As you are getting ready, let us respectfully request that the two members will be excused from the committee just for less than 10 minutes. We are joining another committee to adopt their report. And one of the other members here will continue sharing. But, what would you come to start this up?
I just want to ask if there's a possibility that we can do questions on the previous presentation.
I think we started that we are going to allow all presentations to go through, then you can put the questions, comments, and whatever. Because the approach of adopted. We talked about it when we started here.
All six presentations.
Yeah. How many?
No, not six. How many do we have? It's ICASA, MPA, FTB.
We have four presentations actually, apart from the one of eight, because it covers all the entities. And what we usually do, if we still have a time, we actually request those who are ready to present today instead of presenting tomorrow. But it still has time. But we'll see as we proceed what happens to the time. For now, we'll have all of them. That's what we usually do, that we have all presentations, then after the presentations, we engage in terms of questions and justice seeking and comments, if we do have comments.
Sorry, Chair, I think this is the point I was trying to make, that we rush in through these presentations, and they're quite important, and we need to engage with each and every single presentation.
With due respect, this is what we always do as a committee. When we have NCCC, they present, after all of them have presented, now engage on questions. And sometimes, even the question that you wanted to ask, you'll find that the second or third presentation answers your question, because issues overlap. They are just operating under one department. So it does happen that sometimes issues do overlap and don't even, maybe it's not necessary for you to ask the question that you wanted to ask. That's what we always do. Thank you.
There's a small challenge here that's still setting up, but in the meantime, I could do a preamble, and if you give me permission.
Yeah. I'm advised the members have got copies, and you may proceed while that is setting up, and then we can do that.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members, colleagues, members of the media who are here. My name is Donald Dikoko. I will be presenting the annual Department of Communication and the entities in the portfolio that constitute the Ministry of Communication is being ably led by Acting DG Norman Mungele. He will introduce the executives and the management of the entities that are present here today who will be making their contribution. I am accompanied by my own executive team, Ms. Nibo Lukwabe, who is the Deputy Director General, who is responsible for intergovernmental relations, Mr. Harold Maluka, who is responsible for content and all our publications, as well as Mr. Zeli Momeka, who is our CFO. I then will just go to the presentation outline, which is on page 2, and I will flag there that I will not dwell much on the mandate and the vision, mission, and values. I really do want to get to the strategic objective and to allow the team so that we can actually discuss the performance by program. So if I can just gloss over slide 3, which explains the mandate, which is to provide strategic leadership in government communication, being the primary responsibility of the GCIS, our vision to be the pulse of communication excellence in government, which is on page 4, and for me really, the slide that sets the scene and explains the order in which we are going to be presenting today is on slide 5. The slide is titled Strategic Objectives, and I will read through each one of those, starting with the orange bubble on your left-hand side, to give you context to how the work of the GCIS is constituted and has been executed in relation to the annual report that is being presented today. So firstly, we are focused on providing a responsive and cost-effective, compliant and business-focused organization, and we will see much of the work that happens in Program 1 around administration really focuses on making sure that the operations of the GCIS perform at a high level, and it has really been the thrust of institutionalizing a culture of compliance, which has allowed us to get the clean audits that have been referred to previously by the auditor general. Our second focus is on professionalizing the communication system, and this involves building a reliable knowledge base and enhancing communication products. We'll address this in two sections. Firstly, the role of intergovernmental relations in rolling out a consistent training methodology across not only national government communicators, but also to build capacity in provincial communications. And the second component of that, which relates to our communication products, which I'm sure you're all familiar with by now, Vukuzenzele, our national newspaper, the radio bulletins, which are broadcast on community radio, public sector manager magazine, and other titles which we'll go into in more detail. Of course, to do this, it means that we need to maintain and strengthen a communication system. The communication system has pillars in all 9 provinces. We are represented through our offices, and we work closely with the offices of the premiers to make sure that we can replicate the machinery of the national government communication and provincial structures. Our focus in the last year has been to provide these services at a cost-efficient pricing point. It's been a critical driver for us. I think we've been to this portfolio committee beforehand to talk at length about the constraints on our budget, but we are working within an environment where we understand that we have constraints. So cost containment is a major part of the culture of the organization. The fifth bullet point, which I would like to close on, is about the enhancement of the image of government and that of the state. This relates to a large degree to the work that we do through media engagement, as well as the work that is being done by the Communication Service Agency. And here you will see much of the overlap that was referred to previously in our relationship with Brand South Africa. If I can then move to the next slide, which is on page 6, which just highlights some of the key achievements. And I won't dwell on these. I will just run through them to give context. The key area, areas that we were able to execute well on in the year under review was the ensuring that we had a comprehensive and coordinated approach to the State of the Nation Address. Now, we coordinate all of government's efforts, communication efforts around the State of the Nation Address. It's one of the flagship products that we manage. We not only are here present in Parliament, but our role is also to make sure that we take these State of the Nation Address communications to the provinces through our outreach programs. So we basically replicate what is happening here through live broadcasts on community radio as well as community television to communities around the country. We also were successful at implementing the 20 Years of Freedom campaign, which was an initiative to get South Africans to tell their stories about their experience of democracy in the last 20 years. Another key milestone for us was the Presidential Local Government Summit, which was executed by the GCIS together with COPTA. And the important thing there is that this summit gave birth to the Back to Basics strategy, which is part of the renewal strategy that is being driven through COPTA to ensure that we can raise the level of our service delivery at the provincial and local government levels. We also participated in the Operation Pakistan launch, as well as the launch of the African Charter, which are key pillars that we've identified for economic growth in relation to the 9-point plan. Unfortunately, some of the work that we do is not always joyous. So the last point there really speaks to the repatriation of the mortal remains of the South Africans who died in the building collapse, the tragedy that happened in Nigeria. The communication around that has been led by the GCIS, and I think that it was ably executed, given the circumstances, the team performed very well. If you flip over to page 7, the focus around our product and making sure that government voice is adequately heard, we are the custodians of the South African Yearbook. We published 45,000 copies of the SA Yearbook. And the number may look small, but the reality of it is that we have taken a view that we should be reducing the number of printed copies and making these more and more available through electronic platforms. So that involves publication on DVDs, as well as making sure that the products are available online. This is an area of growth for us, and a little bit later, Mr. Maloka will be able to comment in a little bit more detail about our program to make sure that our products are available on digital platforms. Buku Zenzele, the anchor product that I've spoken about earlier, we published 18.7 million copies. It's still by far the largest South African newspaper if you look simply at our print run. What I did want to highlight there is that Buku Zenzele is not only available in English and 10 official languages, but we also make it available in Braille so that it has traction in all of South Africa's communities. Our public sector magazine, we published 11 editions, and this was also done in the context of the electronic newsletter that we publish every week, My District Today, which really provides an update on government delivery programs and a program of action at the provincial level. I want to move on to page 8, where I want to focus on the work that is being done through outreach, and this is the area that Mr. Fabi is going to talk about in more detail. But this is really the core phase of our communication infrastructure. It's this area where we do most of the work that is happening in the provinces. I'll start first with the 2,258 development communication project. Here what we do is through those provincial and local liaison offices, we're reaching more than 53 million people on a consistent basis with government messaging that mirrors the themes of government and the calendar of activities that we've identified. We obviously are a key part of making sure that we can bring political principles to the people through our Izimbizo program, And you will see that we've highlighted we're able to achieve 326 public participation events. And this is a critical component for us because we think that in bringing politicians to communities, we're actually bringing to life not only the spirit of democracy, but a component of accountability to government service. We have 746 marketing events that were concluded through the Tucson Service Center. If you have not had the opportunity to visit the Tucson Service Center, it's an important part of many communities in which they are located. It's through these service points that we are offering a one-stop shop service where we've put under one roof various government services that have been identified as being a requirement to assist communities to access economic opportunities. A key driver for us has been the initiative to make sure that we can build a solid base for media bulk buying for government. We had 272 media bulk buying campaigns with a total committed amount of 273 million rand. And through consolidating these advertising resources, we were able to save the individual departments 24 million rand in discounts and added value. I just wanted to make a comment on the audit outcomes and to assure the committee that we're already looking at how we can strengthen the culture, the audit culture, the culture of compliance within the organization to make sure that we maintain our clean audit. Our view on this is that in order to make sure that we can replicate the kind of performance that we have done in the past, we need to align management and staff so there's clear understanding of why we are doing what we are doing. Second area is by strengthening the audit committee, making sure that not only does the audit committee understand the business of the GCIS, but that we also have a good understanding of the role of that audit committee and we are interfacing with them on a regular basis. So obviously, through the chief audit executives, we have also worked quite consistently at establishing high competence in our internal audit capabilities. So for us, internal audit, the principle of audit is a proactive one. It's not something that we wait to do at the end of the year as we compile our reports. It's an ongoing activity throughout the organization through which we hold managers accountable for results. I want to go through the next couple of slides. I just want to say that the next section, which talks about content processing and dissemination, which on here, slide number 11, program 2, Mr. Maloka will take you through the details of that content. Of course, we'll all be staying behind so that we can answer any questions later on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting DG Chair. under Program 2, we're informed by the strategic bullet point that deals with providing leadership in government communication so that we can be coherent, we can coordinate and become consistent and deliver quality of the work that we provide to government communication, but at the same time to the people of South Africa. In this particular unit, we also have a responsibility to make sure that the communication that we give to the people of South Africa is communication that is well-researched and therefore we're able to respond to their needs. And we also inform the communication clusters of government through research so that the communication or the needs of people are taken care of in a particular and given particular direction. We also make sure that we produce these reports and present them to different communication clusters and when necessary also to present them to the clusters of cabinet. We also make sure that we conduct research working with different institutions of government, other than the premier's offices or departments, to ensure that at least in the work that is being done, we're able to check whether the communication that we're doing is penetrating to reach the very same people that we want to reach, but also at the same time to make sure that our products are responsive to what the information needs are of the South African public. And in the previous financial year that we're accounting for, we have managed to conduct about 93 of those particular research reports. We have also have the South African Government News Agency, which is our flagship of ensuring that we distribute as much government information as possible across all levels of government. And through that, we also take pride in making sure that we take advantage of the digital space. And we started to use Twitter so that we can reach as many people as possible immediately. We had conducted research sometime about a year or two ago, where the people of South Africa were very clear that they would want to hear information of government directly from government, not processed information. So this particular use of the digital space enables us to interface with our people directly and be able to provide them with as much information as possible. Also, we also continue to analyze more of government information so that we can put more and more information. We have, in the previous financial year, also had about 20 opinion pieces that were published in the mainstream media so that the voice of government can also be heard, as the people of South Africa would want to hear from their government, as I indicated earlier on. We've also been seized with ensuring that we adapt to the new technological advancements that happen in this particular environment, to make sure that the government website or any particular website that is run by a government entity should be responsive to the new demands. I'm sure colleagues would be aware and honorable members that in the current digital environment, when you open a website on a computer and on an iPad and also on the cell phone, there's a difference. That website should be able to have that adaptability. And with more and more people using mobile to access information or the internet, it was also important for us to make sure that our website also adapt to that. But added to that, we have noticed that people or the patterns of readership also go beyond just going into the website, but people want the apps that they can click quickly on them on their mobile. So we're proud that in the first financial year, we managed to extend the use of our product and extended them on different on mobile apps and different platforms. We launched the Vuvuzenzele app, which is an app that enables us for people to read the entirety of the newspaper on their cell phones. But we also launched an app that mirrors the government website, that is also consistently updated as the government website is updated, and we'll call on also on members and everybody listening to also download them, because they're quite user friendly and you can be able to get government information immediately at your fingertips. We have also been, as the GCI has felt that there's a need for us to also support the 16 days of activism of no violence against women and children, and in the previous financial year we've managed to contact most of the sponsors, the companies, mostly those that work with us, and we managed to raise about 210,000 that we managed to donate to a home that is taking care of the needs of women and children. In the areas of dealing with the products that we produce, which is on page 10. We have a language service unit. I'm sure members are aware that there's a language act right now that requires that each and every department must have a language unit. We had already established it because of the products and the number of products that we deal with, to make sure that they were able to speak to people of South Africa in their languages where it's practically possible and within our available resources. As the DG has already said, we consistently produce the yearbook, and this yearbook is supposed to provide a repository of government information of how far government has gone year on year in implementing the work of government. We have also had 11 editions of Vuvuzenzele. I've already spoken to the digital space, but we also produce about 5,400 of the Braille copies, and we partially translate it in all 11 official languages. This is due to budget constraints. With budget, we can be able to translate all of them 100% and meet the deadline. We also published the four editions as required of GovComs, which basically tries to keep keep our communicators and government managers abreast with what is happening in the communication space. And we've also been able to say that the good practices that we have established through our website, through our mobile, through taking advantage of our key digital space and elements, we must inculcate the culture, as Donaldo said, that we have a responsibility that we become the leader in government communication. So therefore, we call on, we bring web managers across government so that they can come in and we look at best practices and how we can help them so that we can remain at par to make sure that all of government is able to take advantage of this particular space. We also develop messages across government on different topics so that as we communicate as government, whichever the department is communicating on particular issues, we can all be able to be on the same message. We develop these messages so that we can guide government communication and speak in one voice. The Pulse of the Nation report is also a research of how far or what the people of South Africa think about what is being produced in the country. We've also produced the reports of a cluster biannual two integrated reports. We also did the 8 Insight newsletters as we had targeted and conducted 12 corporate identity workshops. On page 12, we deal with some of the things that we did not manage to achieve within that the period that we were required to do it. One is that this was our second edition of what we call the annual media landscape book. Basically, in this media landscape, we thought that it would be important for us to go into the market and get industry experts so that they can have a sense of the state of our media in the country. So we then contact experts to begin to write articles on different topics. Our target was that we should have completed it in the previous financial year or in this financial year that we're concluding. But unfortunately, due to submissions, because this is not necessarily what we're asking people or we're outsourcing it for people to pay, the book itself, we request people, because they are experts, to submit chapters. So as they submit chapters, they submit them late. In some cases, we have to take them back and request them to beef them up more so that they are presented with a solid book. That we did not meet, but we're happy right now that has already been done. It's already been launched. And also on our communication monitoring and evaluation, we do our own monitoring and evaluation of how far we've done in terms of our own communication. Now, for that to happen, we have to allow each quarter to conclude so that when each quarter concludes, we can be able to make an assessment of what has come through. And unfortunately, also due to our capacity challenges, but at the same time, the impact assessment report that we conduct, which was still on the field at the time, delayed our output to make sure the last report is produced on time. But it was finally also concluded, but outside the financial year that was done. The public sector forum is a creative way of us of extending the brand, but also to get managers to start to communicate among themselves and have discussions on different topics. We started this without any budget, and our view was that we should bring different speakers that we interview in the magazine to come and sponsor a forum where we can invite managers across government, different provinces, different locations, where they can come and have conversations with us on a number of issues. Unfortunately, we did not manage to get the 9 that we had anticipated. Also, taking into consideration that the previous year also had a national election, which had a bearing on availability of some of the speakers. Thank you, Chair. I'll hand over to Program 3.
Thank you, APNDG Chairperson and members. Thank you for the opportunity. Program 3 is Intergovernmental Coordination and Stakeholder Management, comprises of 4 chief directorates, one dealing with provincial and local liaison responsible for all the provincial and district offices of GCIS. We've got the cluster coordination. This one is two chief directorates supporting the clusters, but also supporting all the government departments. And the fourth one is the media engagement, where we talk about maintaining and strengthening relationship with the media, both South African media, community media, as well as the foreign media. And this program is, this chief directorate is also responsible for maintaining a sound relationship with the parliamentary presence. What our purpose is to implement development communication through mediated and unmediated communication and sound stakeholder relations and partnerships. We've got quite a number of achievements that we were able to do. For starters, we have a total of 235 content toolkits. And the toolkits consists of communication strategies, the fact sheets, the leaflets, questions and answers, posters, email banners for each and every communication campaign that is happening in government. To a very large extent, we assist with that. That also to make sure that we share that broadly with all national government departments, the provinces, municipalities, as well as the entities. We hosted 435 local community radio activations, reaching more than 47 million listeners. Community media is one of our critical platforms that we use, and we make sure all the time that the political principals, especially at local level, reach out and engage with the public. Through our provincial and district offices, we are able to distribute more than 869 government information products at more than 1,000 distribution networks. These are the clinics, these are the schools, these are the libraries, these are municipal offices, these are the shopping malls. So we make sure that we take those leaflets that I mentioned earlier on as an example to those network. We had around 87 communications coordination forums, and this happened at national, provincial, and local level. And these forums are used largely for coordination, for planning, for synchronizing content and messages. And we had annual communications programs for clusters, which were approved by all the DG clusters as well as the ministerial clusters. Colleagues, you know that there are five clusters, the JCPS, the Justice, the International, the Governance and Administration, Economic, as well as social clusters. So we coordinate and we make sure that the communication strategies developed are developed, and we, part of our responsibilities is to make sure that we monitor the implementation of those strategies. GCIS coordinated weekly media briefings for the Interministerial Committee. Members, you know that last year there was the President established an Interministerial Committee on Information and Publicity to make sure that we coordinate and communicate the government work, but also the reputation of the country. So we were able to assess the IMC with weekly media briefings to influence and set the agenda. We developed 54 communication strategies aligned to the national communication strategy. This is for the State of the Nation address, as an example, at the National Day, the Nigeria building, the collapse. We did that for child protection, but for all major campaigns that were run, we made sure that we developed those communication strategies. Some of the things that we did, especially with regards to one-stop government information service centers, is to make sure that we implemented development communications projects. Those are as individual as Donald had indicated. Activations at taxi malls, at shopping complexes, at train stations. identified 746 reports on marketing events for the children's service centers because we are not making dangerous assumptions that people understand and know these children's service centers and what they are doing. You know, sometimes when you go to those centers, people call them Home Affairs Center or SASA Center because those are the services that they are most of the time accessing. And sometimes they are not even aware that next door you can go and get information on government services or there are other services that are there. We conducted more than 2,500 community and stakeholder liaisons, and largely these we do for planning and implementation purposes, especially with the stakeholders at local level, be it municipalities, be it the traditional leaders, NGOs, community-based organizations. And we consolidated reports on the public participation in Bizo, both for at national, provincial, and local level. And these include the President Siyasola as well as the Lokotla reports. We coordinated cluster media briefings quarterly for all the briefings, all the clusters, to make sure that they sort of share with the public what is that the clusters have achieved. We were instrumental in coordinating the communications around the President's state visit in China last December, the African Union Summit in Ethiopia in January, as well as the World Economic Forum in Davos. And the consequence of this was that there was very, very high and good coverage of this of these events. We produced weekly rapid response reports for the minister, but also for the IMC, and these are reports that, because on a daily basis, every day we look at the media, we analyze the media and identify stories that need government interventions or government responses for managing the reputation of government. And we also provided communication support to the parliamentary precinct, as I indicated. And without fail, for each and every cabinet meeting, we make sure that there is either a post-cabinet media briefing or we issue a statement. But no cabinet goes without the public knowing what transpired. Chairperson, there was only one non-achievement. This has got to do with the Government Communicators Forum and at the National Office. This was supposed to have two, but during last year we didn't have one, and largely because the date at which we had planned to do that, members might remember last year around about April, there was attacks on foreign nationals. Attacks on foreign nationals, and it was during that week when we had planned to do the Government Communicators Forum. And unfortunately, members might remember that one of the things that the President asked members of the executive was to go out and engage with the public to understand what are the issues, what is worrying them, and the like. And that was the week which we had planned to hold our Government Communicators Forum. But I can report that since then, we had one successful Government Communicators Forum. That's my report. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Also continuing on Program 4, I would not deal with the issue of media buying because the VGS already responded to it. Safe to say that it's an ongoing successful program and it helps to save government quite a lot of money, and it makes government to be better coordinated in terms of how we should expenditure and achieve economies of scale. On the issues of photography, we are continuing with our photography to make sure that government has professional photographs that honorable members would see in the publications, national publications, newspapers, and everywhere else. These include ensuring that each and every state or government institution have official photographs of government. We also provide video for photography, and we produce various clips on it, including producing television adverts that we use such material for. Also on the radio side, we have also responded to the call from community media that have requested us to assist them with radio news, as they would struggle from where they are due to resources to cover government issues, but also at the same time to be able to interview different government leaders. So on a day-to-day basis, we make sure that we provide them with a comprehensive bulletin, that we give it to them at 12 o'clock midday for their 1 o'clock news and also at 4 o'clock for their afternoon drive shows. And that has been quite successful. The uptake is quite high, and we're quite excited about that. But also we host on the radio what we call Talk to Your Minister shows that have been quite successful, that we host with the connection of about 73 of the community radio stations across the country, where we bring different leaders to engage with people on the language they understand, but also on different topics. And that is growing on a day-to-day basis. At the same time, this is the very same unit that would produce the radio adverts for different government departments who decide to use the GCIs for this particular purpose. We also do our graphic design, and the very nice annual report that you see here has been designed by our own colleagues internally. We only outsource the printing, and that capability we continue to use it to assist government departments that come through in the design of adverts or any other products that require design and layout. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I will deal with program one as well as the financial matters. My name is Zweli Mumeka. Let me take this time to really greet the honorable members, yourself, and my colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. The program one is generally a program that is compliance-driven. And I'm quite happy that the Auditor General, in page 3 of the annual report, has indicated that they have performed procedures to obtain evidence that indeed the department has complied, and that in fact confirmed that there were no material non-compliances. We do have sound financial management processes, and perhaps that's why we obtained the audit outcomes that we have. We hope to continue in that regard. The vacancy rate for the year under review was at 8.5, which we think we did very well to keep it as low as we can. We continued to ensure compliance, as I've indicated, with various legislations and prescripts. We continued to develop our staff. We also do take managers and senior staff into coaching programs, because we really regard staff as the most important resource that we have, given the mandate of the department and how the department is structured. Although we continue to complain about financial constraints, we still produce under the circumstances. And I must indicate that with the system availability, our systems are SITA-driven. We were able to continue to perform our duties. For the financial year, the following are the key achievements. Indeed, we submitted all the interim financial statements as regulated by Treasury, and these basically were meant to prepare various institutions for their annual financial statements. And we did that within given timelines. We have a system of subjecting our interim to an internal audit, which we think is a very good way of really managing our finances. But I wish to report that we've met all our legislated reporting timelines, Treasury as well as the Auditor General. We produced the 4 progress reports on audit assurance. We've got an active internal audit committee, as well as an active external audit committee, and this was confirmed by the AG. We still prepared the employment equity plan as regulated by DPSA, and we indeed met the submission deadline. And this EE plan is not only formulated, but it is implemented, and we regard GCIF as a highly diverse organization. Our work skills plan, as well as gender mainstreaming plans, we will continue to comply. As part of our governance system, we continued to produce our risk mitigation plans, and those plans were approved by the relevant structures, including MANCO. We produced four quarterly reports on the implementation of GCIF's portfolio of the projects that were produced, and these were also approved by MANCO. I wish to indicate that in ensuring that the current administration's medium-term strategic framework is implemented successfully, we have tabled, as led by the minister, the new strategic plan for 5 years, as well as the APP for the relevant cycle. And this happened in early March. Indeed, we launched our annual report to Parliament, and we met the regulated legislated Section 65 PFM date. We've also submitted and approved quarterly performance reports to the relevant authorities, and these include the Portfolio Committee of Communications as well as the DPME, amongst others. We experienced two non-achievements in program one, and the first one was as a result of the date that was really amended by Treasury, and it had an effect on our submission. The second one is the performance agreement. We couldn't achieve the regulated 100% for all staff, but only 94% was achieved, and reasons have been provided that even though staff were reminded, but you can only do as much as you can, but they were indeed reminded. Coming to our financial performance, I wish to indicate that although it was indicated that there was an unauthorized expenditure of 748 by AG, in total the department underspent its budget by 438. The 748 is on program one, and we could not effect further violence. So it's a program over expenditure, but not departmental over expenditure. However, the CFMA requires us to declare such a division within the vote overspending. And really this was, we really had to reprioritize to accommodate the functions that were not necessarily budgeted for when the year started. But I think we did well as a department to include operations of both minister and deputy minister. Let me also indicate that this is not purely S&Ts. It also includes money that we had to avail cars for protectors, both in Cape Town and Pretoria. So I just needed to correct that. It is purely operational expenses for both deputy minister and minister. So I think we did well. If you look at our budget, we were spending almost 100%. That's a tight budget, and we know that it's unlawful to overspend the budget. And I'm quite happy that the department eventually achieved an underspending of 438 or 99.9% expenditure performance. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks to the colleagues.
Chairperson, I think it's appropriate at this stage to, in winding up the presentation, to thank the committee. This wouldn't have been possible, if we had not flagged a critical area that we had were in risk of overlooking. If you recall, last year you came through and you did an oversight at the GCIS, and one of the things that you had picked up was that we really needed to focus on motivation and ensuring that in that transition when we had the startup, we had put in a system around which we could manage organizational change. And I think that we took it to heart. We've consulted regularly with the employees at all levels. And that really has been critical in assisting us to get to this space. So, of course, we are grateful for that guidance, and I think the oversight that we have experienced has yielded positive results, and we want to thank you for that. And we're looking forward to working with this committee in the year ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, GCIS. We were supposed to be taking two other presentations. It was supposed to be CASA and I think MDDA in terms of what we agreed upon earlier. But we have noted the information that you have for now might be too much, in that we wanted to allow ICASA after the 10-minute break to present, and then we'll engage, and then the rest we'll see how we progress with the other entities after the 10-minute break. But obviously when we come back, we'll take two, and then we'll finish the other two entities with the other two entities tomorrow. So we'll take we'll have 10 minutes break now, and when we come back, hopefully CASA will be ready to present with their presentation. I think colleagues have been taking note of the issues since we started with AG, GCIS, to be CASA, and then we'll start with engagement. Let's have 10 minutes break, colleagues, and then we'll reconvene.